Must Adult anyway. We have a very special guest this week.
We have the lovely Victoria Winterford. A little background on Victoria. Would you like to give a little background on what you do and what you're best known for?
Yeah, amazing. So, hi. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting. So, I guess for the past 5 years, I've kind of been transitioning through being like a pageant girl and modeling and dancing.
I'm so interested in the pageant stuff, by the way.
Oh my god, it's a completely different world out there. And then coming into like more of the fitness industry and learning about nutrition and how to fuel my body, obviously having like an eating disorder years ago, that was something I was really passionate about, and then really moving into more like the lifestyle mindset, life coaching. So I would now kind of class myself as a wellness coach. I have like my own online business and I help people just become like the best versions of themselves from like the inside and out, which is just really important to me. And obviously I've done some TV work and that's really helped kind of gain a bit of exposure over on social media, which has then helped, I guess, grow my business as well. And that's just been amazing. So,
I mean, I followed you for years and I feel like you're like happy on Instagram, you know, if you're having a bad day, you'll see like your videos or stories or whatever. And you're always like lifting people up and making people feel good. Like you have like an attitude, like you just don't give a shit.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah,
care.
I don't. I think that comes with age as well. Like I'm 30 this year.
And yay, you're coming to the club.
We're not going to go into it because I'm like, I just want to stay 27, 28. But do you know what? So many of my friends who are already 30 said, when you hit 30, it's like something just clicks and suddenly you don't care about anyone else thinks.
Yeah.
You know exactly who you are. You know exactly what you want in life.
And, like you
and
said,
that's just it.
Like, leading up to my 30s, I was exactly I could feel, don't get me wrong, I was having a full-on breakdown. I mean, we did a whole episode on my breakdown. I was having like a full-on breakdown about turning 30, but I definitely felt, even though I was sad that I was turning 30, I think you all of a sudden have this realization in your life that you think, oh my gosh, have I achieved everything I wanted to do? Mm-hmm. Am I where I thought I would be? Like, I'm leaving my 20s, it's really scary. Had all that, but then at the same time, I had this like, I just believed in myself.
Yeah.
More. Like, I was like more, I like was more confident in like my opinions and what I thought, and it didn't matter what anyone else thought anymore. Like I believed my own opinion, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Whereas before I used to doubt myself.
Yeah, it's like the imposter syndrome just disappears.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's like, actually, I'm going to stop comparing myself to every single other person out there and just focus on myself.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, like your opinion is the only opinion that matters anyway. Because everyone's always going to have something to say no matter what you do and no matter where you go and who you're around. And
yeah. And you just got to, believe what you... And it just, honestly, I say this to you, don't I, Cole? And it just... And then I think as well, I was stressing. I was, like, crying. Like, couldn't sleep at night because I was turning 30. Like, it was bad. And then
I'm not looking forward to it now.
I promise you. And people said this to me, and I thought, yeah, whatever. As soon as it actually happened, and the day came, and I turned 30, I was kind of just like, oh, I quite like it.
It's not too bad now.
Yeah, I was like embarrassed of my age before.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now I like introduce myself. Like I bring it up myself. If someone's talking to me, I go, but I'm 30.
Yeah.
Honestly, now all of a sudden
I've got more life experience than you.
It's like you both don't even look 30. Like you really don't look your age. It's kind of like exciting. Like I'm 30. And everyone's like, what? You're 30?
That is so true. So many people say to me, oh, they think I'm like 23, 24. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. Because when I'm 40, I'm going to look 30. Yeah. So that's completely fine.
Yeah, it's all good. Okay, let's talk about the pageant stuff because I know. Okay.
Can I just say, so the reason why I know Victoria is because my friend Lauren done Miss England. She's in the pageant world, so that's how you two met.
Yeah.
So we met through her. That's how I knew the pageant world.
Which is just crazy in itself. I mean, so this was 2015 and I was randomly asked to do Miss Universe Essex. I had no idea what
like
it was.
Plucked from the street.
So it was, I can't even remember where I was now. I was at some, I wish I remembered. Don't know what it was. I think I just got sent like a form, to apply for it online. And they're like, I think you should apply for Miss Universe Essex. I thought it was hilarious at the time. I was like, oh, I would never do anything like this, but I'm such a yes person. I'll just try and get involved in anything. So I just sent off my application form, got through to like the first couple of stages and then ended up like winning it. And then going through to like Miss Universe Great Britain. Oh, at this point, I had no idea like how crazy the pageant world actually is. Like these girls spend fortunes on dresses. Like they live and breathe pageantry. And I was just like rocking up like, hi, "Hi, Victoria, nice to meet you." Like, I'd never done public speaking before, and they just gave me a microphone and was like, "Right, talk about like what you're passionate about and world peace." And I'm just like,
I don't know, I had no idea.
And then Miss Universe Great Britain again was 2015 or 2016, and I came first runner-up in that, so I came second. And as much as at the time I was absolutely gutted I didn't win it, I'm blessed. I honestly, I'm so glad I didn't win it, because I think going into like Miss Universe Worlds as like my first ever pageant, like a set of pageants, would have just like made me go crazy, because it already sent me into a downward spiral, because I was already in a bad position when it came to like food negativity and where I was at with my body. And to do pageants as well, you have to be in amazing shape, as what they class.
Is the pageant industry really competitive?
Yeah, like...
Like, do people cut your dresses up and stuff?
No, I mean, they didn't. I would have cut their dress up back. But... I mean, I didn't have an expensive dress. Like, I just went up London, got a lovely dress. But these girls were like, "Oh my God, I've spent £3,000 on my dress. I've done this for my dress." And I was like, "I just got mine from, like, I think, I mean, my dress was still nice. It was a few hundred pounds, but
it
was just crazy."
See, I knew it was a big thing in America. But yeah. I knew there were pageants here, but I didn't know it was like a huge
thing here. I feel like pageants aren't spoken about as much as like the pageant world is so big.
Yeah.
What do you get out of it? Do you like win money?
This is the thing. You win money. And I think it's just a title. Yeah. It is literally that title. It's like anything, like bodybuilding, you get a little bit of money from it, but it is a title. And the thing is I think I found it harder, because a lot of the girls just, it's not they didn't like me, but I was a newbie and I'd come in, this is my first pageant, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I just won that one and I'm doing really well on this one." They've been doing this for years and they're not even placing. And so for someone to come in and just kind of take it, who's not even, I wasn't even bothered about it either. I was like, "Oh, if I win, I win. If I don't, like, I'll just go back to normal." And they hated that. But
that's amazing. I think it's good. There was that girl on Love Island, wasn't there? She was, is that the
Zara?
Same?
Yeah. So I done Miss Universe Essex with Zara.
Shut up. Yeah. And they stripped her of her title.
I didn't realise until, this is about a couple of years ago, and I randomly bumped into a girl and she was like, "Oh yeah, do you remember when we done Miss Universe Essex?" And I'm awful with people. I'm awful with names. Like, I'm really bad. And I was like, "Oh yeah." She was like, "Oh yeah, because we done it with Zara." And I was like, "Zara who?" She was like, "Zara McDermott." And I was like, I had no idea. So when I went back through my phone to like my pictures, it had all the pictures of us. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is crazy."
Wait,
like,
Zara McDermott?
Yeah.
Wait,
Love Island Zara.
Zara.
Zara. Holland.
Oh, maybe it's Zara Holland. Oh no.
Have I just made that up?
I'm going to have to get the picture up and show you after.
Have I made that up? Zara Holland. Is it Holland?
But the Zara,
I can't remember
the one
that
got her title stripped.
I am talking about the one that's with Sam.
Yeah, that's Zara McDermott.
Yeah, no, so she done, I done Miss Universe Essex with her.
No, so there was another Zara. She was on one of the
I remember
early
that one.
Seasons.
She left early, didn't she?
She slept with someone and
they took her title away from her.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that now.
I still feel like these pageants should be penalised for that. How can you, for a girl, honestly, a young girl on television, she liked a boy, she got a bit carried away and she slept with him. And then nationally embarrassing her and stripping of her title.
It's disgusting.
Because she did that.
And that's why mental health is literally at its all-time low, I think, because of how like social media and media, but you know what, it's not even the media, it's the people that are acting to it and reacting to it.
We were talking about this last week, because it was Mental Health Awareness Week, and we were saying how toxic people on Instagram and TikTok and all of them are. They're just, it's a scary world.
It is scary. And I think, I've got a little brother and sister now. Myla is 7 and Austin is 9. And
amazing,
it's scared.
Myla
and Austin. I know, although when my dad called him Austin, I hated it at the beginning because it just reminded me of Austin Powers.
No, it reminds me of Austin in Cinderella Story.
No, it reminds me of Austin in Texas.
So this is the thing,
no,
right?
No,
so everyone's names will have like you perceive someone's name as something that from your own experience.
Wait, you know, like... So you know the
Austin,
Cinderella
I love
story
that with Hilary Duff,
and
yeah.
And he runs off the football pitch to go and kiss Hilary Duff, and they go, Austin!
Oh, I love that!
Austin!
Oh, okay. Oh, I love that. But now I love their names.
Yeah.
No, obviously.
Really cool.
But what scares me is like them growing up into this world.
Yeah. It's such a scary
I say to Austin, "What do you want to be when you're older?" And he wants to be a YouTube creator.
Oh, God.
Like, I mean, they earn thousands.
They do. So I'm like,
they
honestly,
do, but this
yeah.
Not a career, like,
Milo wants to be a pastry chef, but she's not. She's not into she's not into anything. She watches TikTok and she actually watches a celestial barber.
What's that?
Do you know Celestial Barber? You, if I show you her, the lady that she started off basically creating these funny videos, taking the mick out of people on Instagram. I need to show you. I just posted her most recent one. She's blown up from it. So she'll look at, so she's quite, I would say she's just a normal woman. And she'll get all these videos of like, you know, like the silly, say, really tiny women who will be like in a bikini eating like an apple like perfectly, and she'll just do it in the most funniest way to be like, no, this is real life, like,
yeah.
But she's great because she's all about body positivity. Okay. She's all about just kind of being,
she's quite
you
good person for your little sisters to watch.
Oh, amazing. Like, yeah, incredible. So I try and like push them towards watching
that.
Stuff
watch
like
that
rather than
that.
Like the filtered TikToks.
Yeah, block out the noise,
right?
So let's get on to,
well, I feel like with the pageant, I want to know about, so that drove you, that's where the eating disorder stemmed from.
So I think that made it worse.
Was
so
there a lot of pressure then to?
A massive amount, which I didn't even realise at the time because I was in a bad way. So the eating disorder came from, I think it was a multitude of things, from like, I was really bullied when I was younger and like at school and just at college, and I was always kind of, I was a
that's
very shy,
gorgeous and everything that you would think would be like the popular girl. So
Definitely. Look, I had one friend up until the age of about year 10. And then,
what school did you go to?
Himes Park.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to Himes Park and then I went to Chingford Nevin sixth form after that. And we just kind of kept ourselves to ourselves. And then during like year 10 and 11, we got into like the popular groups, I would say. And then obviously went to sixth form. I don't really remember sixth form because I feel like it was a really bad experience for me. I don't know why. I just, again, I like, people say why, and I just can't really, I can't remember
you
it.
You don't really pinpoint what it actually is.
No.
It kind of groups into one, doesn't it?
And I think because I was just in a really bad place through that, the whole of my college years, and I don't think anyone really knew either. And I was in a relationship at the time, so I was in my, well, it's kind of the only ever serious relationship I've been in from like the age of 16 to 22, and it was really toxic. It was a very, very toxic relationship. Again, at the time, no idea. It's only now that I look back at it and I'm like, it was very, very toxic for me. And I think that led me into the start of my eating disorder. And then I was modeling, I was dancing. Now, I'm 5'7", which is kind of like, I would say, an average height. But for, yeah. And now I see that as tall, which is strange. But in the modeling industry, that was short. So all my agents would put me forward for fashion jobs and I wouldn't get it because I was too short. I thought it was, I was too big. Mm-hmm. So I just stopped eating. And when I mean I stopped eating, I literally just didn't eat. And
what,
I was,
what did you eat like day to day? What would be your routine?
Oh my God, it's horrible. So I would wake up in the morning. Disclaimer, anyone that has eating disorders, please don't follow this. This is what I was doing. But I was waking up in the morning, I'd go to the gym and I'd do maybe an hour on like the treadmill, and then I'd do an hour weights, and then I would do maybe like 20 minutes of like HIIT training. This is when HIIT and circuit training was all coming out as well, and this would all be fasted.
So this is like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, every day. And then I'd probably have just a protein shake with water. Lunch would be a slice of toast with, I actually looked at my Fitness Pal once when I was tracking at that point, and I think I actually inputted it as a slice of bread with half a bell pepper and one egg, and then dinner would be like a chicken breast with some broccoli. But my family are really big eaters. All of them are big eaters. My dad's an incredible cook. It comes from like my granddad and my nan. So food has always been an integral part of our family and our like socialism with our family. So I would go there and I'd be like, oh no, I'm not hungry. I don't want to eat anything today. And
did your family like point, did they ever say to
all
you?
All the time. But you never listen to the people that are close
like,
to you.
Yeah. My family would be like, what are you doing? Like, eat.
Exactly. And I think because they was approaching it in the wrong way. So my dad would actually get angry at me and be like, Vic, just eat. I don't understand why you're not eating. Like, you've always just eaten. And I was like, oh, but I'm not hungry. I ate earlier. And I just make up all these excuses.
So was you actually hungry? Or was you mentally told yourself that you're not eating?
I was hungry, but I think you just go past the point of really, I got scared of food, I think, by the end of it. And because I've always had digestive issues, I used to just use that as an excuse. I just say, oh, that bloats me out or that makes me really sick. And then it just got worse and worse and worse. And I got to the point where I'd make like cauliflower rice and cauliflower rice pizzas. And I remember even putting these recipes on like my social media thinking that was kind of okay to replace normal rice with cauliflower. And,
yeah, I mean, and rice is not bad for you.
Rice is not bad for you at all. And I think it got to the point where it got so bad. I was so ill. And I think I dropped down to like I was 47 kilos, which is about 7.5 stone, just under. Jeez. Yeah, it was.
That's just.
And if you think like our stature, our height, like I'm like 20 kilos over that. Yeah. It's mad.
Because they say for someone my height, so I'm 5'1". I should be about 8.5 stone.
Yeah, you're shouldy.
Shouldy.
I should
be 8.5 stone. Yeah, but imagine
so that's a stone
lighter. Like
it's crazy. Yeah, and you, but you just, I just didn't realize it at the time, and I thought I looked great. I could see my abs. And again, in that industry, in the modeling industry, people look at you when you are, I mean, it has changed drastically now, which is amazing. But at the time, it was like the smaller you got, the better it was and the more jobs you got. So because I was always being validated by how I looked and how thin I was and how my abs were showing, like that validation for me was like another dopamine hit of great, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So then my habits, my eating habits were just getting worse and worse and worse to the point where like my gut issues were just making me really ill. So I ended up in hospital.
Oh my gosh.
I was in hospital about 2 or 3 times. And then the third time I was admitted in, they kind of just said, they weighed me and they said to me like, if you don't change your way of living, you're going to be bed bound and you're going to be like this for the rest of your life.
And was that the point where you thought, shit, I need to step up my game and
get
a relationship with food again?
Exactly. For me, that just clicked. And I was like, whatever I'm doing now, my life, it has to change. That's when I gave up modeling. I stopped dancing as much. I done my PT course. I was actually working at a company called Protein World.
Yeah.
So I was in charge of all the, I was probably in charge of you girls, if I'm honest. I was in charge of all the influencer programs. So I was in charge of everyone from like the USA, UK, Canada. And it was a 24/7 job. Like it was so hard and I was so burnt down to the ground. So I actually left that job. I done my PT course, not to be a PT. I just wanted to learn about food and nutrition and fueling my body. And then just kind of went from there, I guess.
That's honestly amazing. I mean, I've never came anything close to an eating disorder, but we obviously do, we get the pressures, we feel the pressures a lot.
Of course.
There's like, one time I lost, this is a few years ago now, I lost like quite a bit of weight and I was like really quite thin. And then I was obviously
doing those coffee drinks and stuff.
Not coffee
booties.
Drinks.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The fact they're even still on the shelves.
But, so we were going to, we were going away with filming for TOWIE and we were going to like Mallorca for 3 weeks. And there's all sorts of pressures. As soon as you get there, you have to basically every day do like pap pictures in bikinis and stuff. And obviously you have to be on camera in bikinis. And this is back in the day when like people like Kate Wright and Lydia Bright were on it and Chloe Lewis, and they all had these unbelievable bodies. And I remember just thinking I was dreading it. And so I like starved myself. And yeah, and I was doing these, I would like wake up, I was taking laxatives at the time. So I was like taking laxatives and doing booties.
I've done the same, yeah.
And it was just, I mean, now when I look back at it, I've told people that before and they're like, are you stupid? And I'm like, yeah, I know. But it's because I was doing, as soon as I did my pap pictures, I was fine. I was like, okay, I'll eat a bit more. But at that time, when I was doing that, I remember like going, I remember once I think I was like in Westfield and I obviously felt slim because I'd been doing all these laxatives. And I ate a slice of toast or a sandwich or something or whatever I ate. And I remember I was trying clothes on in like River Island. I was looking in the mirror in the dressing rooms and I remember feeling like I can literally see that bread on my tummy.
Oh,
like
my God.
That's, you know, like, and I'd just eaten it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can see it on me. I can see it. Right. And I remember thinking, no, you can't. I think I said it to my mum and she was like, what are you talking about? You know, like, so I think that, yeah, it's like a dangerous, luckily it didn't go any further for me, but yeah, it was definitely like pressures like that when it came
to. The only time I've ever had a struggle with food was when I was at school, when a bit similar to you, I got bullied at school as well by the older girls, and I stopped eating. Like, I would literally for lunch have mozzarella balls and that is it. Like, literally that is what I'd
That's like the diet on The Devil Wears Prada, where she goes, I don't eat until I feel like I'm going to pass out. And then I eat a cube of cheese.
I literally lived off mozzarella balls. No, it was really bad.
I mean, it's not
so
funny, but
I was so skinny. But since then, you know, you have your relationship with food where it's like a bad relationship with food. I have a bad relationship with food, as in I eat really badly, but I binge eat every single day.
Is that
now like really bad? Like I don't realize I'm doing it.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I don't start eating until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So have you eaten today?
I had a protein
today. Oh, okay.
But then I won't stop eating until about 12 o'clock at night.
Okay, so it's like when you start
and
you don't
what
stop.
I'm eating is crisps, chocolate, ice cream.
A snacker. You're a snacker.
I'm a snacker. So when people say, like, when people are like, I've got a eating disorder, like, I don't eat enough food, mine's the other way, where my relationship food is, like, when I pick up that crisp, when I pick up that chocolate, it's like a sense of happiness.
Right.
And then I do that, I'm doing that all day, throughout the day.
So that's still classes, like, so there's obviously differences between, like, having an eating disorder and having disordered eating. And so many people have disordered eating, like, so they might not class themselves as an eating disorder, but their way of eating is still disorderly. So it's like, obviously your food, what you're doing, that's coming from like a place of emotion. So you're, like you said, you get happiness from that. So like I used to say to, well, I do say to some of my clients who like go through stages where they binge and they're like, I'm just emotionally eating. And I say, right, okay. So what you have to do is try and like, get an emotional release through something else. So if you go, it's going to take time, but as soon as you want to pick up that whatever it is, the donut or the chocolate, I'm not saying these foods are bad for you, but if that's because it's coming from a place of an emotional response rather than just because you genuinely just want to eat the donut, it's like, okay, don't eat that. Try and do something else which would get that emotional release. Like, so for me, it's baking. Like, I love baking. Or like, I don't know, doing TikTok dances or whatever it is.
See,
so, and I'll see if I get that emotional response, if I get that release, or like I'll journal or go for a walk. And then if I'm still feeling really emotional, but then I'm eating them because I like, I just genuinely want to enjoy that piece of cake.
Yeah,
it's not because I'm getting it from like, I'm really upset or I'm not looking at that piece of food as like curing my emotional discomfort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just eating it because I want to eat the donut or I want to eat the piece of cake and I don't feel bad for it.
Yeah.
Whereas like some people, they'll eat that because they feel sad. They think that's what's going to make them feel better. Whereas actually you might be able to get that release through something else. And then over time you train yourself to not use the food as an emotional response. You use something else.
That's quite a good trick, really.
But it's going to take time.
I feel like TV is a massive thing for me. TV, watching the TV makes me want to binge eat. Like,
that's
I just
cinema.
Want to eat when I watch the TV. I don't
but again, I think that's, it's like everything that we do comes from like a place of experience. So like for me, that would be because when you go to the cinema, it's a social conformity that you like, we'll go get popcorn, we'll get snacks, and that's your enjoyment of going to the cinema. It's not the cinema if you don't do that. For some people, they can go and they don't need that, and they can just enjoy the film. It's like when you go to Everyman Cinema, it's great, it's all there. And but so then when you're at home and you're watching TV, it's like, okay, let's get the popcorn out. Let's do this, because it's like a social way. Again, watching films from like years ago and like the war was like an exciting part of getting your family together and sitting there and watching a film.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's just everyone just sits
Netflix. Yeah. So I know that at Easter, I saw that you put up a video and you were holding a chocolate Easter egg and you just said, like, just eat the Easter egg. If you want the Easter egg, do not make yourself feel bad. Eat the Easter egg. Now, I think that that's really good because I do silly things like I will be really, really healthy and then it will get to like Saturday and I'll be like, cheat day. And when I say cheat day, I ate like tons and tons and tons of chocolate. But it's because I've not eaten it for like 2 weeks I don't eat it for. And then when I do want to eat it, I just like shovel it in. So I feel like I need to find a way of like eating little bits.
So
I'm not like desperate for it.
Definitely. So it's all about not restricting yourself. And again, like we put these words like cheat day. It's like it shouldn't really be a cheat. Like it, like food shouldn't be seen as cheating. You shouldn't be cheating on it. It's like when Weight Watchers and Slimming World say these are sins. What do you mean they're sins? Like how can a banana be a sin? Like how can eating three exactly like three squares of chocolate is two sins, but one square of chocolate is no sins? It's like, oh my god, like you're really really demonizing food. And yeah. I think we've put so much emphasis on like what is bad for us and what is good for us that we restrict ourselves so much of the foods that we, well, that like society deems as being bad. And then like when actually like, if we had that every day, like for me, I'll eat chocolate and stuff every single day. Yes. I'll make sure my clients eat chocolate and that yes. every day so or whatever they like. Because then you don't feel like you need to binge.
Because this is exactly what, so I've got a friend who's a personal trainer. And I say to her, like, I find it really hard. Like if I'm good in the week, on the yeah. weekend, I go in. She went, no, because you're suffering yourself in that week mm-hmm. by not having the chocolate, by not having what you want, you binge and you make it worse. Yeah. So of an evening, if you fancy that chocolate, eat the chocolate because then you won't binge as much on a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll go to the gym, I'll be healthy-ish. And then of an evening, if I want that 12 o'clock Magnum, I'm having that 12 o'clock Magnum.
80-20. Yeah. 100%. And there's actually a really interesting, I think it was a study or it was something or it was a story or whatever it was, but it was really interesting. And basically what they done is they had someone who loved donuts. I think it was donuts or cookies. We're going to say donuts, right? So they said, like, I want you to eat, I feel like it was a PT or someone. They said, right, I want you to eat like 4 donuts every day. The guy was like, oh my God, this is amazing. First day, he ate 4 donuts, loved it. Second day, he ate 4 donuts, loved it. Third day, fourth day. After like 7 or 8 days, he was like, I don't want the donuts anymore. I'm yeah. absolutely over it. And then he just didn't feel the need to like binge out on donuts because his body realized, oh, the donut's always going to be there. And I'll say to people like, it's always going to be there. Like that's not going away. Like by you consuming 5 slabs of dairy milk because you've not had it a week, like that's going to be there tomorrow, that dairy milk. Like you could have like a bit today, a bit tomorrow, a bit the next day, to the point where you're like, oh, it's all right now. Like it's like you get bored of anything. If you eat omelets every day, you're going to get bored of omelets.
That is like, oh my God, that is like, you know when I became obsessive Lotus biscuits, it was like a word, it was like,
do you hate them now?
I can't stand them anymore.
This is the thing. It's the same thing.
I've eaten them to the ground where I can't even go and buy them anymore.
I always remember when we were younger and my mum went like shopping, like did her weekly shop, and she bought like a pack of yum yums. You know those cakes, yum yums.
They're like donuts.
Yeah. Anyway, me and my brother loved them, and they were obviously a treat. And I remember my brother, like, I think my mum, like, popped out and my brother, like snuck into the cupboard and ate, like, the whole pack of yum-yums. And my mum got home and he threw up. And he, to this day, he's, like, 32. And he was, like,
can't eat a yum-yum.
He cannot even look at a yum-yum.
I've done that just, with, what's that? What's Sambuca? I've done it with Sambuca. We're not going there. I can't touch Sambuca now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Gross. Yeah, that is gross. Yeah, I think what it is for me as well is, like Georgia said it to me before, I think that sometimes, you're right, we like demonize food or like we see it as like it's a cheat.
Mm.
And so it's almost like, yeah, like it's a treat. So then I sometimes on my cheat day will sit and eat chocolate. I'll have like a family size pack of chocolate, like not just one, I'll literally have like 3. And I'm shoveling them in and Georgia's like, come up for air. I'm not even sure you're chewing them and enjoying them. You're just putting them in so quickly. Like, am I really enjoying them if I'm like probably shoveling not. It in? But it's like an obsession. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, it's cheat day, so I need to get it all in. Like,
because it's like you're never going to have it again.
Yeah.
It's like a dog will eat until he's sick because that's just how they eat. Because they don't think they're going to eat again.
Yes. And
it's like animalistic way of eating.
And I love chocolate. So why am I not like eating it slowly and enjoying it? But I'm not. I'm like just quickly putting it in. I don't even breathe in between. Yeah. Like, honestly, it's ridiculous. That's how much I love chocolate. I just think, this is... I feel like I'd never even thought about it like that, that we like demonize food, like sins, cheat day. It shouldn't be
without
like that.
Without us even realizing it's like subconsciously around us.
And you want what you can't have. That's human nature.
Always.
So if we're making it that it's something we're not supposed to eat, then obviously we're going to want it. Like we're going to like naturally just want that.
Don't press the red button. I really want to press the red button though. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Yeah. That is honestly, that's crazy.
So I've just been on holiday. And I've got to say, I ate the least amount of what I normally eat because I wasn't snacking. There's nowhere to buy snacks.
Right.
So I did, and I didn't even fancy it. Didn't even fancy crisps or chocolate because it wasn't there to buy. And I consumed so much of it before. Obviously, I consumed so much of it before every day of my life.
Yeah.
That when I was away, I didn't even think, oh, I need chocolate. Oh, I need crisps. I need it.
So did you feel like you lost weight on holiday?
No, because I was like drinking alcohol.
Cocktails is surely daggers.
Like the most ridiculous amount of fruit that it gave me the shit.
Fruit does that. But again, we don't eat that much here because the fruit is crap here in the UK. Like honestly,
so
I'm saying. But do you know what? Like I've just been away as well. We literally both got back together.
I'm very excited about this.
And for the first time, it was really strange because I actually said to my coach about this as well. It was like
interesting. You have a coach, even though you're a coach.
Yeah, I think it's really important.
I think we said this. Did we say this on the pod the other day? In LA, it's just absolutely normal that
everyone has a coach. 100%. Because
wellness coaches, life coaches,
I still need to learn. Like I'm not a professional in any way, shape, or form to every ounce of my life. And I think that I need someone to motivate me. I need someone that's going to push me as much as like I push my clients. Like I still want to be growing and learning myself. And there's only so much
I can
do.
We need to normalize this.
It should be normalized.
What do they call it in the States? A shrink. Well, people have like psychiatrists, don't they?
And yeah, like life coaches. But life coaches will have life coaches because you think, how do they learn? They've got to learn from someone as well. So, yes, it's like I was even saying to my coach for the first time, like even though I went away on my own, like I literally didn't restrict myself of any food. Like, I bought cocktails for myself and just sat there and had cocktails. And like I'd sit there and eat pancakes. Whereas before, like I didn't train when I was away. Whereas before, I had a pass back where I have to get up, I have to train, I have to earn my food and earn my breakfast.
You've done a post on Instagram. It was like, if you want to go to the gym on holiday,
go to the gym.
Only if you want to.
Yeah, like 7 days of not training is not going to kill you. It's not going to like suddenly ruin your gains. It is needed. Like we need a deload. Like we need a week of not doing anything and staring into space and eating what you want and just living. Like just living our life.
To be fair, I have a motto when it comes to holidays. My motto is I don't look at the gym on holiday. The only reason why I went to the gym on this holiday is because we're going away for filming.
Right.
And I just don't want to feel uncomfortable around the pool, which is what I have been feeling. I feel really uncomfortable in my body around the pool and I just don't want that. So I did go to gym, but normally on every single holiday I go on, I'm like, the gym is not even existent in my life.
Yeah, I'm not really a gymmer on holiday, but I have been in the past, I've been known to like go for a run on the beach and stuff.
But you quite like it and you enjoy it.
Like a mental thing. That's definitely. Not like because I want to like
and
lose
again,
weight.
And again, it's right. So it comes down to why you're doing it. Like if you're going to the gym because you actually really enjoy it. Like I do love going to the gym, but it's like sometimes I don't want to go to the gym. I can't be bothered. Like I think I trained once when I was away or I had like 2 20-minute sessions. I just couldn't be bothered by the end of it. So I went swimming and went for walks and went for hikes and something different. So I always say like try something different, but don't go if you don't want
to
go.
Well, if you want to run on the beach, that's fine because we don't get to run on the beach.
No,
exactly. In England, so
exactly.
That's quite nice. It's like a treat.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're talking about this. We kind of breezed past it, but Victoria went on holiday on her own. This is where you've been. So
solo
was it a week?
Trip. Just a week.
Is this something part of like your what you do and your mental health? And is this something what you wanted to do for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. So I've been away twice before on my own. The first time I went, So the first time I went away on my own was actually like when I was in a bad place and I went to Dubai. Mad, but this is before Dubai was Dubai. Like I went years ago to Dubai with my mum and it was still a desert, and then I went about 6 years ago and it was built up but obviously not to the extent it is now, and I've not actually been back since. I'd be interested to see
last
what it's
time
like.
I went was 6 years ago, I think.
And I went on my own. I stayed, that was my first ever trip away on my own and I was so scared, but I knew a couple of people out there and I also had a family friend out there
Why did you do it? Just to push yourself? See if you could?
No. So actually I was going for modelling, so I was going to go and speak to agencies out there. So it was more like a work trip, but I loved it. I absolutely loved being away on my own because I love my own company.
And you've got nobody to answer to.
You've got no one to answer
to.
Like, you can just do
your
own thing. And it was amazing. But I mean, I didn't make the most of it, if I'm honest, because of where I was at as well. I would have done so much. Like, I didn't go to a place like the Cheesecake Factory or anything. Like, I didn't really eat when I was out there and I would just train all the time. And it was just, it was not great. But that was like the first time. And the second time, I went to Thailand for 2 weeks.
On your own?
On my own. This
That's
was like.
Great.
Yeah. So I knew I was going on my own and then ended up realizing that one of my friends had a friend out there. So she kind of introduced us whilst then when I went out there, I met her, and then I met someone on the plane going out there. So then we ended up chatting, and it was amazing. Like, had the best 2 weeks. I just met friends, but I grew up as an only child, so
I'm used to just meeting people.
And just like that socializing.
When you're on holidays with your family, you have to make friends.
You have to.
Whereas I've got two sisters, so I've never.
So you don't have to. And again,
that's why to this day I'm such a socially awkward person. Like, you ask me going to a room of people, I stand on my own like this and look at
my phone.
Oh
my God, no.
Yeah, I'm so, how awkward am I?
I don't know. I think that sometimes you're better than I am. I feel like sometimes there's lots of situations where me and Courtney, like events and stuff.
I was going to say, would you go to an event on your own?
No.
Would you?
No,
see, I always do. Oh my God, I always go on my own.
That's brave.
I'd freak out.
I don't know. Maybe it depends what event it was, depends who was going. But yeah, no, I think I would freak out. I do like that really socially awkward thing where like I see somebody that I might like know and that I like panic. I like if they're like walking towards me and like say if we're in the street. And they're walking towards me and I like panic and I overthink it really quickly and I think, oh no, just pretend that you didn't see them.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh my gosh, they must think I'm so rude. Why did you do that? Say hello. Just look at somebody and say hello. But I like talk myself out of it and I'm like, oh no.
So would you go for coffee on your own?
No.
You wouldn't?
Callum goes for coffee. So Callum goes for breakfast on his own.
I always do. I live on my own.
Takeaway coffee on my own.
No, so I've just literally before here, I've just been sat in Cafe Nero on my own doing some work, having a coffee.
Oh my God. Wait, can I just say, so me and Chloe were going to an event and she was running late and I didn't want to go to the event on my own. So I went and sat in a Costa coffee on my own. Bearing in mind, I don't drink coffee, I don't drink hot drinks. And I was like, okay, right, go in, order a hot chocolate. Gone to this, I went, hi, can I have a coffee, please?
Yeah, she ordered coffee and was sending me pictures of this coffee. I was like, why have you ordered coffee?
I panicked.
Yeah, she panicked. I was like, can I have a coffee, please? He was like, George, it's normal. I went, oat milk, because this is what Callum orders.
That's what I order as well.
And then I was on the phone, so I was like, oh, we would like literally freaking out. And I'm sat there like this, like on the couch in the corner, I'm like this. Like looking around like, oh my God, like.
But you know what, like that's the first time, and like I think we forget, like we always compare our day one to like someone else's day 137, whatever it is. And but for everyone it's a baby step, so for you just going into that shop and ordering a coffee is like the tiniest little baby step to you next time sitting in, and then the next time maybe doing something else, like take your laptop, even if you're not doing anything on it, because it just makes you feel like a little bit better. And we think that everyone else is watching us. Same when you walk into a gym, we think that everyone else is looking at us. And they're actually not. Like, no one cares.
You never see me on the gym floor on my own.
No, me either. I've never,
this
do you know,
mad.
So we all go to the same gym, obviously. Yeah. So I have never been up on the gym floor. I won't go up on the gym floor.
Really?
I can't do it.
It's too much. Oh my God. It's like social anxiety up there.
Yeah, but you
it's
have
like
to
a
realize.
Club.
Yeah, but oh, see,
and you walk in and everybody looks at you.
But this is true, especially when you go to a gym like ours as well. Yeah. But I go with my headphones in. I literally have my headphones on and it's like I don't talk to anyone. And it's just my way of like, that is my hour where like I'm off my phone, my notifications are off, it's on do not disturb, and it's just my hour for me.
Yeah, see, I just
and I
don't
think
do
then
that.
Again, then you start like, that's another dopamine hit for me. It's like, oh, do you know what? I've just had like a really nice hour to myself. But then I also live on my own. So I'm used to my own company and I like my own company.
Yeah, I quite like my own company, weirdly enough. But if like George is out in the evening and I sit there and I think, oh, lovely, I'll cook myself dinner.
Exactly.
I'll sit and watch a movie. I'll sit whatever and watch whatever I want, like stuff like that. And what I really hate actually sometimes when I do that, because I can quite enjoy my own company, sometimes I find myself, I'll put on like a movie that I really like and I want to watch, and then all of a sudden I'm on my phone.
Yeah, put it away. I'm the same.
Like,
put
what
it away.
What are you doing? And sometimes put I honestly away. Think like, what are you doing? Put
it's
it down.
Not an emergency. It's really not an emergency.
And it's just like a natural thing as well. Uh-huh. You don't even realise you've picked it up and started scrolling.
So I used to, when I had like, I still do them, like have little social media detoxes every now and then, and I'll delete the app. So when you delete it,
this is like
a big step to like a small step. So I would say, if you've never done it before, just move Instagram or whatever your social media platform addiction is of choice, move it somewhere else. And like, you'll realize how instinctively, like, you just go to the same place of where it always is, and as soon as you move it somewhere else, you're like, oh my god. And you don't realize how much you go on it, and to the point where you're like, okay, I might delete it just for a couple of hours, delete the app, you'll still go back, honestly, you'll pick up your phone, go to look at it, and it's not there. And I was like, the first time I done it, I was like, I am obsessed. I'm obsessed. In between sets, I'm looking at it. In between, I'm absolutely obsessed.
So my phone is the bane of mine and Callum's relationship. Like, it causes so many arguments. He absolutely hates it. He's like, can you just get off your phone for a minute? But I do the rounds. I go on TikTok, Instagram. I go on my emails. I go on my WhatsApp. I do a round. I do online shopping. I literally have a set time. I'm like, right, I'm doing the rounds. And I'll do the rounds and go on the social media. Yeah. And Callum's like, get off the phone. Like, why do you care what this so-and-so is doing? Like, just come and you'll be here with me. Like,
be present.
Be present.
But Twitter, I've got in a folder. So it takes quite a while to get to it. So I don't hardly ever go on Twitter. Because it's so far.
I deleted Twitter off my phone, actually.
Yeah, I don't even...
Twitter's the most toxic place in the world. Isn't it? It's just so toxic.
But it's so far away in a folder, I can't even bother to go on it anymore.
It's past the line. The line is a dot.
I've got to scroll twice, click on a folder, scroll twice, click on...
Yeah.
So it's just, I can't...
How many apps do you have?
Yeah. Sounds crazy.
It's all the shopping apps, isn't it?
I think that that's quite a problem in lots of relationships. And I find, I mean, me and George have been together for a long time now, like 5 years or something. And I think that sometimes we live together, so we spend a lot of time together. Sometimes we'll like go out for dinner and I'll look up and we're both looking at our phones.
It's so bad.
But you're good not being, you're like, of an evening, like from 5 o'clock, she's unreachable.
Do you know, I got told the other day that of an evening is just an Essex thing. Of an evening.
I'm sure that's...
It's not a correct term.
Of an evening. Like, of an evening.
I say of an evening.
I do.
I say of an evening.
So in the evening.
Yeah, in the evening. In the evening. It's not correct English. Somebody said this to me the other day and I was like, what are you talking about? Like... I was like, yes, it is. And they was like, no, it's not correct English. It's just like an Essex thing that we've all just made up.
Another thing, I feel like that's quite a posh thing to say. Like, oh, of an evening, I'm going to get a cup of tea.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's proper Essexy.
So another Essex thing as well is that what we all say, and I think it's because of Loughton High Road.
Oh, no.
So I call everything a high road. So like, you know.
Go down the high street.
It's high street. It's not high road.
I say high street. I don't think I'm from Essex. I'm going to sound from London.
I mean, you're Chingford, so you're kind of like...
My postcode is actually London. Yeah.
No, everybody was laughing at me the other day because I say high road. I call everything the high road. I say, I'm just going to the high road. They're like, high road.
But I just say, I'm going down the road. I'm going down the
road. Yeah, I'll meet you down the high road.
I say high road.
How
weird. Yeah, it's an Essex thing. And someone was like, sorry, yeah, that's just really gone on a tangent.
But everyone's like that. I say, in Wales, like, I'll go by there. And I'm like, what do you mean by there? And they're like, oh, we're going by there. They'll just like cut things out. Like in Wales.
Oh.
They're like, I'll go sit by there. That's the worst Welsh accent. But they'll go sit by there. And I'm like... What? It's like anywhere you go, you've got like your own little slang, haven't you?
I lived in Australia for a few years. Sorry,
I remember this actually when you was living out there. Yeah, I feel like I do.
Years ago. They used to do this weird thing where they all the young people, like we have like our weird like slangs here and stuff. All the young people put "but" at the end of the sentence.
Oh, they'll be the Welsh do that as well.
Like, oh, it's a nice day, but. And I'd be like, literally, waiting like this. I mean, it's connecting words.
But what?
And yeah, I'd be but looking at them like,
how weird.
And they'd be like, oh, no, that's the end of the sentence. I'm like, it's a connecting word. It's a connecting word. It's not the end of a sentence. They'd be like, oh yeah, this is a cool podcast, but. And I'm like, it's very strange. Very, very strange.
So I want to get going back onto the subject.
Sorry.
Chloe likes to just...
Digress.
She likes the sound of her own voice.
I like to talk shit.
She loves the sound of her own voice.
So I have a podcast.
Right. So going back to the question, how important is it to have a good relationship with food?
It's just with, like, it's one of the most important things, I think, for me, is like looking after your mindset with anything you do. Like mindset when it comes to your job, your lifestyle, who you're with, the food that you're eating, like having that good relationship with food for me, it's just been like a game changer. I'm still on the journey. Don't get me wrong. Everyone's still going to be on a journey. And someone's like, are you fully recovered? And it's like, no. Like, there'll be times when someone will order a pizza and I'm like, should I really be eating that? Like, should I really be eating that pizza? Do I really need it? And I'm like, no, okay, just eat the pizza if I want the pizza. If I don't, I don't want to eat. And, but creating that good mindset around kind of what you are putting into your body and what you are doing on a daily basis, I think it just really helps you live like a happy and sustainable life. Because at the end of the day, like, everyone just wants to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to look at a plate of pasta and think, oh my God, I can't eat that. That's the devil. But then I think, again, it's like really important who you surround yourself with. So, like, at the time, I was going out with people and they're like, oh, should you really be eating that? Or like, if I want a salad, if I'm going out, like, leave me to order a salad. I want to order the salad. Don't have a go at me because I'm ordering the salad over the lasagna.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I fancy right now.
Exactly. If I don't want a dessert, don't make me eat a dessert. Like, you're making me eat the dessert to make you feel better about eating your dessert. Like, that's like, it's like drinkers, like people that don't drink and do drink. Like, I actually done a podcast about not drinking and it's such a social thing. Like, if you don't drink, like, people are always like, why don't you drink?
Yeah,
it's really strange.
People really question it.
Yeah,
don't
but
they?
If you don't eat mayonnaise, no one goes to you, do you know why?
Yeah.
So you just don't like it. It's like some people just don't like drinking.
There's this narrative, isn't there, when it comes to people that don't drink, that people say that the people that don't drink, the reason they don't drink is because they don't like being out of control.
Right.
So
okay.
I think it's like a control thing. So I think people are always sort of like hinting at, oh, like, are you a control freak? Is
yeah.
That why
or
you
just
don't
like hangovers.
Or you're just boring.
Or
like,
you're just,
boring person.
My, honestly, George says this to me sometimes and it really winds me up. Sometimes I don't want to drink and he goes to me, I don't be so boring.
That's the thing. It's like, well, it's not being boring. Actually, like, if you can be confident with yourself and who you are going out without having a drink, I think that makes you stronger than if you need alcohol to have a good time.
I mean, on that point, I feel like if we ever go to events or anything, I always have that glass of Prosecco as you walk in
because it calms you down. And again, it makes you feel like,
it makes me talk to people.
Yeah. And also, if you've got the orange juice over the Prosecco, people are going to be like, why are you not drinking the Prosecco?
Yeah. Are you pregnant?
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I just fancied the orange juice.
So
that's why I feel like if I ever get pregnant, it's going to be so obvious when someone's like, she's not drinking tonight.
She's not having a tequila.
I'm always the one drinking.
Yeah, it would, yeah, you would definitely know. If I'm not drinking, everyone would be like,
oh, yeah,
what?
I know.
What?
I'll be so obvious.
Oh, well.
Because we'd never turn down a drink.
Yeah.
Always the first one at the bar. Last one's at the bar as well.
Yeah, literally.
We never leave the bar.
I was saying to the girls before we started, I got like accidentally drunk last night. Like, you know, like I wasn't supposed to get drunk and I ended up getting drunk. So I'm very hungover today. But we did the podcast.
We made it. And you're fine. You've drunk your water.
I'm fine. And I
you're
went to the
okay.
gym. I sweat it out.
You did? This
I
was
did.
Good.
I don't know how. I thought I was going to be sick at one point. But
this is the thing, right? So I train hard every day. I go to the gym. I
you
go
don't
to the
need
gym
to go to the gym every day.
How many times
really
a week do you say go to, would
four.
You say go to the gym?
I train four times
oh, no,
a week.
I don't go to the gym on a weekend. That's banned.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
That,
oh, okay,
right?
Fine.
Yeah.
Oh, so you train five
Sunday.
Times a week? Fine,
yeah,
fair.
Saturday, Saturday.
Okay, cool.
Saturday and Sunday are like
oh, fair.
Days.
Okay,
like,
cool.
They're my weekends.
Good.
But I go to gym. But then my PT was like, if you ate right and you trained how you trained, you would have like the body that you want. But because I eat so badly,
You just like a snack.
I like a snack, and my portions are like for like grown
no,
men.
No.
My
Courtney, you. I've said this to you before. You order food, and sometimes, and I don't look up from a plate. By the I like inhale
this
food.
Is
I'm
me.
Like a greedy eater. You know, like I eat fast. And sometimes I eat
wonder
my
what
whole
that comes
meal.
From.
I look like we go to Zest. I eat my whole salad, and the whole thing is gone. It's a greed thing. Eat the whole salad, and I look up, and Courtney's finished, and she's eating half her salad. And I always think,
yeah, but because
oh,
I don't
shit.
Love, I'd rather it be like a bloody bowl of carbonara. Then that will be finished.
I just always think like, oh, you never finish your meal. Maybe I should not finish my meal.
No, but again, that comes like mine's that for me comes down to when I was younger. I wasn't allowed to leave the table until I finished a meal.
Me either.
This
though,
is what I think.
That's
why. So everything we do now is always related to something when we're like younger, like childhood memories.
You'll never
it's
see
really
me eat
strange.
Anything.
Like I literally remember. Like the most traumatic memory I have of this was like it's not even traumatic, it's ridiculous. It's like first world problem, sorry. I was like, my dad made me bolognese And I was sat at the table. I was eating my bolognese, didn't want any more of it. My dad was like, you're not leaving the table until you eat all of that food. And I was there for 3 hours, literally felt sick because I didn't want any more. And he was like, you're not leaving until you eat it.
Hang off the chair. That's
yeah, but
my
then that.
Would be like, sit back down.
Exactly. Then that comes down to him. Like, that comes down to my nan and granddad, because my nan and granddad had like 5 kids by the time they were like 21. So they had so many jobs, they couldn't afford to put food on the table, really. So it's like, you eat what's on the table because you don't, you might not get any food. So because that was instilled into my dad then instilled that into me. So now I'm like, you'll see me. Like, if ever we go to Sheesh or anything, the girls always go to me, you just pick at food. I'll just sit there. And if the desserts are there, I'll just sit there and pick.
Mm. Yeah,
constantly
like
picks. I'm like, I can't leave it.
I could have.
But in my head, I'm like, I'm not a human dustbin.
I eat, like, I can order, like, you know when you go to the States and you get like massive meals, I'll eat the whole plate.
Same,
like, I eat everything. I don't leave anything ever.
Medium pizza, I'll eat it all. Large pizza, I'll eat it all.
Yeah.
Extra large, I'll eat it all.
I had to
tell myself, you're not a dustbin.
Yeah.
Like, you are literally not a dustbin. Like, it's either gonna go in you or the bin.
Yeah.
Like, it is not gonna go to a child in Africa.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
I know we always used to say that, but it's not going to. Like, it's either gonna go into you or into that bin.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't treat yourself as a dustbin.
It's funny. So, like, Callum's got 2 young nieces that who are 10, and we're around his mum's for dinner because she makes the best food, and that they eat like 2 bites of their food, and I'm like in shock. I'm like, do you not enjoy this? Like, the food is unbelievable. Like, how can kids only have 2 mouthfuls and not want to eat anymore? I'm like, when you're older, you'll look at this and you'll think, wow, these potatoes are stunning.
But it's so true, isn't it?
I end up eating their potatoes because I'm like, I can't believe they've even left that. Like they're unbelievable. But as kids, you don't appreciate
You don't appreciate anything as a child, really. Like, you get given the presents and you want to play with the cardboard box. It's like, it's just what it is.
Ungrateful as shit.
Yeah.
You're ungrateful. Okay, we probably need to wrap it up there.
Yes.
We've, like, definitely talked and talked. But thank you so much. That was
really
interesting.
Oh, my God. No, really interesting.
You've definitely given me a new outlook on the whole, like, I know people say it all the time, eat food in moderation. But if you're, if we see something as, like, a cheat, then we're going to want it more. You should just
have it.
Yeah.
If you've had a really good, like, day of eating healthy and you fancy a chocolate bar, have the chocolate bar.
Exactly. Like, and I'm never going to be one of these people to be like, oh my God, just like eat all the donuts and eat all of that. Because of course, everything in moderation, life has to be in moderation. But I think we just have to stop comparing ourselves to, like, what everyone else is doing and just like focus on literally what you're doing and like being the happiest and the best version of you like you can possibly be and like making the most out of like every situation. And there's just so much you can go into with life, and we do so much that we're just not happy with, and we put ourselves in situations, but
100%. Like, putting ourselves on a diet we don't want to do.
Exactly. Like, why? Just, I think for anyone, like, find your reasons why. Like, what is your why? What is your purpose? Like, why are you training?
Yeah.
Like, is it external for, like, everyone else, or are you actually doing it for, like, those internal, like, those feelings that you get? Because, like you say, I go on the run because I want that. Like, I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Are you doing it because you want abs, or are you doing it because you genuinely, like, really love it?
Basically, what's it called? PMH, prioritize your mental health.
Oh, I love that. PMH.
Which is why I gym every day, so I can eat what I want.
And you can have all the snacks into the 12 a.m. Magnum.
For my 12 a.m. Magnum.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much for listening.
I hope
this gave you like a nice outlook to food.
Don't pressure yourself. That's all I'm saying.
And follow Victoria on Instagram, because what's your handle?
It's just at victoria.winsford.
Because I promise you, she is very, like,
she posts very uplifting things.
Yeah, makes you feel better.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, not every day is uplifting, but I always say, if you can do one thing a day which makes you smile, then you've kind of accomplished that day.
That's cute. That's very cute. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you
for listening, guys.
Thank you.